Good morning, guys. Welcome back to the Water from the Rock podcast. And with me, as always, is my sidekick. I'm just joking. I'm the host. He's the star. But this is Pastor Tim Robbins, my daddy.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the star.
Say hi.
Anyway.
Hey. Howdy. And, nice to see you guys again. I know I can't physically see you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see me. I can't see you, but it's good to see you. And if you're listening to this, it's good to hear you, even though you're not. I can't hear you, so. But anyway, so last week on the podcast, we were talking about being transformed, and great message about that. If you guys want to listen to that, download the Water from the Rock app. It's available on Google Play and Apple iOS store there, and feel free to go on there and get the app and listen to that. It's on there. But anyway, that was a great thing. Week before that, we did aliens. And as you guys know, spoiler alert, aliens aren't real. And I know we got to go back and we got to finish that up. We're going to talk about how aliens are going to be used in the end times, at least best we could probably figure.
Sure.
We got to cover that at some point. And I do know that I was listening to our week two episode and I asked a question. And then Pastor was like, well, that's actually a pretty good question. It's going to take a little while to answer. And I said, you know what? Let's save it. Wrap up that end of that candy bar. We'll come back to it later.
Do you remember what that question was? I can't remember.
I don't want to devolve.
Oh, okay.
There
All
you
right.
go.
All right.
There we go. If you talk right into the end of it, it picks you up real good.
Okay, sounds good.
There you
good.
Go. It's kind of like a shotgun mic, how it's shaped like that.
Sure.
It's weird how the microphone works. But anyway, I'll get that answer to you. I don't want to divulge it here because I don't want to be reminded. Plus, my problem is if I think about that, I'll be diverted from what we're going to talk about today.
No problem.
And I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about today. If you come to our church, if you've been to our church, you know that I teach a class once a month on Modern Heroes of the Christian Faith. And the whole premise is people who really made a difference in the faith in a more modern mindset. The Bible's got the Hall of Faith, the Heroes of the Faith in Hebrews, was it 11, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And what was it? And time would fail to tell me tell of Barak and Jephthah.
Gideon and Samuel. Yep. David and Samuel, and also, you know, the prophets there.
Yep, and all the prophets, those who subdued
kingdoms. Yeah, righteousness, yep. Obtained promises. Yeah.
Anyway, I kind of co-opted that name and made it Modern Heroes of the Christian Faith. We talked about people who are really heroes of the faith to us, and we talked about, oldest guy we talked about was William Tyndale, who stood up and was even sacrificed, burned at the stake for wanting to preserve the Bible in the English language, and because of that, the King James Bible actually came about. And then we talk about people even still alive today. We've done Pastor Robbins here, and he was very embarrassed and upset the entire time.
That's all right, though.
Yeah, but you know what, though? We wouldn't be having this podcast if you weren't here, so what are you going to do?
Any which way, we'll move on.
Well, so. Fair enough. I'm not going to make you awkward and uncomfortable for this whole podcast.
you do that at other places, right? Like I did to you in Bible today, right?
Oh, read me to filth twice. We're not going to talk about that. I'm still upset.
I
need to go to counseling.
Over that
yeah.
One, yeah.
The problem is, who do you counsel with when your pastor's the guy who did it?
Get over it, boy.
Exactly. And anyway, today what I want to do is we just kind of want to take a break from our normal format of covering past messages, delving deeper into that, talking about aliens. He's never preached on aliens, but talking about that kind of stuff. And we really just want to talk about some of our more favorite stories, people I might have covered, people that I haven't covered. And we're going to talk about like some of Pastor's most favorite stories of answered prayers, some of the things that really stood out to him, helped him in his life. I'm going to share one or two of mine, depending on time, how time allows us. But I'm really excited about this. This is something we're going to try. And it's something, like I keep saying, I'm really excited about it. It's because I got a really good story I can't wait to share. And I'm super well, ready to go.
You can go first.
No,
I don't mind,
no. So. No, old people first.
Oh,
and
yeah. So, I don't know. I there's so many that have really impacted me and made a difference in my life. You know, and like when Jack Hiles talks about when his dad died and how he
fresh old story.
Yeah. His graves seeking the Lord. And. You know how he'd go out in the, I think it was Highway 46 or 49 or wherever he lived down there in Texas, and he'd cry out to God, you know, is there, you know, where's the God of Elijah, you know, that kind of thing. It made an impact on me, you know, other stories. My pastor shared a few of things God's done in his life and stuff. But then also, there's a guy who wrote a book, I forget the exact name and title of it, but it was, I think it was something along the lines with God hearkened unto the voice of man, or whatever it was there out of Joshua. And anyway, and they just listed a bunch of stories, and I tried to contact his him or his family or something like that and see if they would ever put that book out in print again, and they never did. But I always wanted to, I give somebody my copy, and I don't know what happened to it, but in there was different men of God and some of their answers to prayer and some of the things that did in life, and I remember lots of them by Percy Ray, and those had a big impact on me. And Percy Ray had a lot of them that that guy seemed to could call fire down from heaven, man. And I think he died in 1991, somewhere in there, 90.
Give me just a second. Yeah. I got the power of Google on my side.
And you look it up here. But anyway, though, and Percy Ray was a state evangelist for the state of Mississippi. And what that was is for the Southern Baptist Convention, they would, never really been Southern Baptist, I don't know, but I think that the time period, they just kind of had these guys that were kind of like their main evangelist for a particular state. And he was one of those, I think, for Mississippi for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then he pastored up Tennessee for a while and did some preaching up there a lot. And just kind of down in that kind of more south-central part of the southern part of the U.S. there. And kind of down really what we would kind of consider, you know, just kind of a central part of the south and stuff. And guy had a lot of different things. Like, for example, one that always had such an impact on me was he was preaching along the Mississippi River there around close to Memphis, I believe it was, and he's holding a revival meeting, and he had won a drunk to the Lord, and he preached against moonshining during the 1920s during Prohibition. He preached against that a lot, and he was staying up on these bluffs above the above. You could look out over the Mississippi River and see the other side, you know, see Arkansas. And which, you know, is just, I'm sure, was quite a beautiful sight, and, you know, up on the bluffs and stuff. And if you've ever been down through that way, you know how beautiful
it's
it is.
It's gorgeous.
And stuff, yeah. He was holding his meetings up there, and he had won this guy of the Lord that was a drunk, and that guy started kind of just staying out there with him. And he was preaching against moonshiners, and some of these moonshiners got upset with him and kind of visited him and said, you know, either you straighten up or, you know, we're going to. Gonna fix you good, and he really, you know, you can't really threaten me with heaven, kind of like John Rice did and stuff like that, and then it wasn't long they hired a hitman to come from Arkansas, and this drunk says, hey, I heard that they hired this hitman, he's come to kill you.
Oh no.
Yeah, he says he's come from Arkansas, and so they're sitting out on the edge of the bluff there, and they're praying and begging God to, you know, deliver him. Lord, how are we going to be your messengers if we're going to die here?
I say, why did he just run away?
Well, he wouldn't go. He wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't come back down.
God didn't give him the leave.
Yeah,
I get you.
They told him to leave town, and he wouldn't do it. And
I get you.
He told that guy that was staying with him, that guy that had been a drunk and gotten saved. And he said, go ahead and go. Keep yourself safe. He said, I'll stay with you, preacher. He said, sure enough, here come that guy. They saw him get on this little raft he had made to go across the Mississippi River. And it was a hot day, and they just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed as he started to go across the Mississippi there. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it got real dark, and the wind blew up, and it capsized his little raft, and he never came up out of the water again.
Oh, Lord.
And anyway, ended up, those guys that had hired him recognized that was the hand of God, and many of them got saved.
Wow.
And so I always, something like that, I think about other ones that he had.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, he's crazy stories, man. And he'd call his people back home, and he said that most of the women, they were so poor that they would wear fertilizer sacks for dresses and stuff during that time period. And he'd call them and say, hey, I need you all to pray. I'm going to be preaching here, preaching there, or whatever. And power of God would come down, you know, guy had an amazing ability to call down the hand of God. It was amazing, and you know, there's a bunch more that he had. Those stories of Percy Ray really impacted my life, and it was somebody in the modern, you know, and John Rice has a lot of good stories and things like that. But you got one that you enjoyed quite a bit?
I did, actually. Out of the people we were talking about earlier today, Reese Howells, one of his stories that I really enjoyed reading. Putting together during the presentation, I actually shared this in church, but I want to share it on the podcast here. Reese Howells was a man who, one of the things he really understood greatly was the importance of prayer, the importance of intercessory prayer, getting a hold of a promise from God, not letting it go. And so I was reading his biography called Intercessor. I think is this his biography or autobiography?
I think it was kind of an I think it's a biography, but it's kind of written from an autobiography. I can't remember, to be honest with you.
You know, it is a biography because he keeps calling him he. Anyway, weird fact to remember, but I just remembered that. Anyway, so I was reading his book, and then I began to like research him on the internet, different stories about him and the college that he had founded. And one of the things he had done.
I just remember you were talking about that college he founded, so I remember that story now.
Yeah, I think it's called The Bible College. And,
it was real deep.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Pretty creative.
Yeah, very creative. You could tell he was definitely he was an imaginative guy. And anyway, so I was listening to I was reading his story, and I was reading stuff on the internet, reading his biography to get ready for this class. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was he got a promise from God that England would not be invaded during World War II. And if anybody knows anything about history, knows that they were flown over and bombed nonstop, but they weren't invaded. And there came the Battle of Dunkirk there. And during the Battle of Dunkirk, I think it was World War II.
World War One, I think.
Yeah, I think Dunkirk was World War One. Anyway, he prayed that God would not let them get invaded. And so, as you guys well know, the Germans pushed people back at Dunkirk, and there's a bunch of soldiers trapped there. Hundreds of thousands of men were trapped there, and were just going to be slaughtered by the Germans. Germans had outnumbered them. I think they had 300,000, 350,000. And Germany had 400 or 450,000. They outnumbered like 100,000 men, and they had all this artillery, and they had caught the Allies on their heels, and they had pushed them all the way back. And all of a sudden, these guys are, I mean, ripe for the slaughter. All of a sudden, the Germans just stopped firing, and they stopped attacking. And they couldn't figure out why, and they were able to evacuate. But what was going on is during that time, Reese Howells at his college got together all of his students and said, God needs us to pray right now. And so they got down on their knees and they prayed for hours and hours that God would intervene on behalf of their nation. And if they would have lost that battle, they would have been invaded. And to me, the way I envision it in my mind, the way I see it, is almost like God himself is standing there above these soldiers as the enemy is advancing, and then they just have to stop. You know, and it really kind of, in my mind, shows it's a visualization of the power of prayer, the power of moving the hand of God.
Yeah.
And how realistically, I was talking to you about faith earlier, and I feel like faith is kind of that generator of power in life,
yeah.
The great generator that God gives us. But prayer is really the inaction of that.
Yeah. To me, I always felt like prayer was just kind of the gun in which all the weaponry of God would be shot through, you know. Because the Bible says that our weapons are mighty through God. The Word of God's mighty, but it's not as mighty unless it's through God. You know?
Absolutely.
It's got to be through, you know, the prayer, it's mighty, but it's not mighty until it really is through God. And when you pray according to the will of God, and it just, I mean, it is mighty. Kind of reminds me, I can't remember who the fellow was, but what was the German guy that had the homes, his daddy was kind of a drunk.
George Mueller.
I think it was George Mueller. And he was preaching in Canada, I believe it was, and they were coming across the Atlantic Ocean. And they just hit a dead spot, and they weren't going anywhere for like a day or two or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he asked the captain, he said, I've got to be in wherever it is in Canada, I believe it was, to preach on some particular day. And the guy said, well, there's just no way we're going to get there. He goes, unless we get some wind right now. And he said, well, then let's ask God for wind. And he kind of, he prayed, and the guy said, started to pray, and he just grabbed him by the shoulder and said, no, don't pray. And he goes, why not? And he goes, because you don't believe. and he said, go up there and set your sails. And they got up there. The wind had already picked up by the time they got to the top of the boat.
Holy cow.
And he made it there on time, and he's able to preach in that meeting. Because he said, God, you're just not going to be able to do that. And he goes, well, God told me I was supposed to preach there, so if God said it, I have to be there. And, these guys, they had an ability to believe God. And again, I think, we talked about that in transformation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
God starts transforming you through, where you acknowledge the truth, you know the truth, and then you experience the truth. And then once you experience, you start to bear fruit of it, and now you're unmovable. And these guys have reached those levels, and they had a relationship. That was amazing. So, but
funny you bring up George Mueller, because I had a story about George Mueller. One of the things I always liked was whenever he ran those homes, he never did that by going out and trying to raise money. He didn't get people to sponsor him. He would just pray, and people would send him money. Some people would sponsor him, but he would never go out to seek that. He would only do it through prayer.
Yeah, God had told him he couldn't ask anybody for help.
One of the stories that really stuck out to me is there's several times this happened, but I remember specifically one time. They were waiting to eat breakfast. They didn't have any food. There's no food in the whole building. And they got all the kids ready. They got them ready for the day. They went down and sat at the table. And they said, "Children, let's bow our head and thank God for the food he will give us." Mm-hmm. As they bowed their head and began to pray, and before they even finished their morning prayer to say thank you, there was a knock on the door, and it was a bread truck had broke down outside of their building. And then another time, there was a milk truck that had broke down.
Right.
And it's crazy good stories. Like, it's amazing how...
One time a baker said, God woke him up early and said, God laid on my heart to bake you guys some, you know, bread. And they didn't have anything to eat. So, you know, and just... The guy had an amazing... Just had an amazing ability. I keep using that phrase, but just had a really be able to bring the Lord in and stuff. One of the stories my dad told me one time, and I don't know who it was. I don't know what kind of man of God, but he was an army, I want to say like a colonel or maybe brigadier general, maybe lieutenant colonel, maybe in a major or something. But he was in charge of like a regiment I don't remember what size, maybe... I don't know if it would have been, I think it was bigger than a company. It might have been a company, though. He might have even been a captain or something. But it was during, I think it was World War One, and he told the men, he said, "Listen, we're going to trust the Lord." And he quoted Psalm 91, and every day they would get up and they would pray, the whole company. They would pray, and then they would quote Psalm 91 together every day.
Mm-hmm.
They went through the entire war and never had one casualty. It's the only company, regiment, whatever it was, to ever do so.
Holy cow.
Not one casualty ever. And they went through, I think, 5 major battles or were in some big type things. And anyway, though, he had said he had, you know, had read that. But again, that guy, you know, and of course, Psalm 91, I was just pulling it up here real quick, but, you know, it ends with a verse that the devil quotes to Jesus, or it gets to them, but he says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee, can keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone."
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, and it, but...
And then during the temptation of Jesus.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Satan quotes it.
One of the things that he stressed to them early on is he said, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence," which is, of course, noise and pestilence is, you know, sickness or illness or whatever. And he says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of the night, for the arrow that flieth by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness there." And he says, then he quotes, and this was kind of his verse. This was like their company verse or whatever. It says, "A thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it should not come nigh thee." And that was kind of their thing. And
that's a good verse.
Yeah. So 1,000 at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but none of it comes nigh, or the word nigh means near. That stuck in my head. My dad told me that many years ago, probably over 30 years ago, and it stuck in my head, and sort of close to 30 years ago.
That's a good story.
Never stopped thinking about that story, yeah.
My war story that I remember hearing that I always think about is how I think it was the British adopted a bear cub. And it became the symbol of their regiment. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. I'm trying to think. We're really running low on time, so I'm trying to think of one that I could share that'd be kind of short. I guess one that I always liked was Lee Robertson or whatever would fly his plane, and he would get out there with no gas, and they'd be like, "Well, you don't got gas."
Lester
Roloff. That's right.
Yeah.
And
Lee Robertson flew with him one time, is 8 hours away, and said, "I'll never do that again." He rode back in a car on the way back.
I can't blame him. Because Lester Roloff would get on his plane, and he'd fly, and they'd be like, you don't have enough gas to get where you're going. He goes, well, guys, gonna have to give me a good tailwind because I gotta get there.
And Brother Harold, a snitcher in Fort Dodge there and at Harvest, he said that he came and preached there in Blairsburg, which is about 30 minutes from Fort Dodge, and where Brother Harold was from originally and grew up. And so came to preach, I think it was in the 60s or something like that. Said that he landed or what, came there to preach, but he ran out of gas while he was landing. Or no, I take it back. He landed on the highway, parked the car or parked his plane on the side of the road, preached all week, went out, got in the car and the plane to fly off, and started to go down the highway to take off, and ran out of gas.
That's scary.
Yeah, he go fly back to Texas that way. So a bunch of men went and got some gas and filled him up before he goes. But that's just the way he was, though. Of course, that's how he dies too. But
yeah, that's scary.
You know, but he did. But Lee Robertson said that flying out there, I think it was in New Mexico, so Arizona, something like that. Maybe it was West Texas. That's what it was. And he said he wouldn't know where he was at. He'd dip down real low and fly by a water tower to read the water tower. See what town he was in. Look at the map. Go, all right, well, I need to turn this way or that way. And, boy, that guy could preach, though. Man, he could preach.
Yeah. But, you know, I do got a story. I hope you don't mind, but kind of breaking ahead from the heroes of the faith, the men of God that really made a difference in our life. Can I give a personal testimony about the prayer I answered? All right, well, I'd like to give a personal testimony about a prayer that's been answered in my life. And anybody who knows me probably knows the story, but when I was little, I always wanted to be able to own my own property, wanted to be able to own my land, and wanted to be able to put down roots. And where we live right now, everybody says ruts, and it's roots.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
roots.
There's two O's.
Yeah. Gonna pronounce that right because I mean you pronounce boots the right way.
It's boots, not butts.
Yeah, exactly. And, so,
but anyway, I wanted to put down roots, and I got married to my wife, and they're living here in town. I had to rent a house, and God had blessed me to be able to rent a house instead of renting an apartment. And I was about 23, going on 24 years old, and I really wanted to buy a house. And we had put in 9 offers on 9 houses, and every one of them we got shot down. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because I didn't have any money. And got to the house my wife really liked, and put in an offer on that house thinking I was going to get shot down too. And they said, well, you know, what's the best you can do? And I said, well, I can do about $500 more. And the truth is I'm bluffing the whole time. I ain't got any money.
Yeah.
You know, I have $200 in my bank account, and that's just because I haven't spent my birthday money.
Yeah.
And I'm praying. I'm saying, God, you know, you told me that I need to put down roots, and you told me that I need to be doing these things, and you told me that you're going to provide. Well, here I am with nothing, and I'm putting myself on the line, and I got nothing. This is all going to be you, or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And since we're telling stories, answers to prayer, you guys know what happens. I end up getting the house, I don't know how, but somehow I managed to get $5,000. Somebody gave me $5,000. I still don't know who it was. But somebody gave me money to pay it, put down payment on the house.
Yeah, it was somebody in the church that did. What I remember, whenever you wanted to buy that house or buy a house, and I didn't want to be a person to curtail your faith, but I also wanted you to be aware of, you know, this is going to be an act of faith. And I was just like, you know, are you sure you really? Because I was kind of trying to discourage you from doing it, because I knew you'd need money to put down. I didn't have any money to give you to put down. Anything like that. And you're like, no, Dad. And I remember you telling me, no, Dad, I believe God wants me to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And so then I was praying strongly for your faith. And but anyway, though, and then I remember a man coming up to me and saying, how's he going to buy a house? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, how much has he got put down? And I said, I think they wanted $5,000 down or whatever. And he said, does he have it? And I said, no. He said, how much you got? I said, about $65. and he started laughing. He goes, I'll give $5,000. And he said, you go tell him, put that bid in. And I'm like, okay, you know, and sure enough, he did. He gave the money and helped you all out. And
praise the Lord for it.
It was. And I'm glad y'all got that house. It's a perfect piece of land for y'all. And
it's definitely been a big help. I got a good double lot and able to give a good spot for the dogs to run and kids to run.
Decent neighborhood.
We host a party every year for my birthday around my birthday time. And we have everybody at the church over to eat burgers and. Last year we did pork butt. We smoked a pork butt.
Yeah. So like when you smoke them ribs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. That's better than most restaurants. And Listen, let's do this. Let's do another one. Okay, let's do another one of these and share a few more stories of people of men of God.
I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, I think let's do another one.
We're at the half-hour mark here, I think, but yeah, I'd be happy to do it again.
Yeah, there's a bunch more stories that we could share, and I think it's good to have them out there for later on. Somebody wants to listen to them or whatever, and have them kind of. But like I said, I think it was the day that God hearkened unto the voice of man. That there, if you ever run across that book.
Please let us know.
Yeah, he's a guy, I think, out of Ringgold, Georgia, I believe is where he's from. And Jeff something. But anyway, and he put that together, and I wish he put it back out in print again, because I remember I bought a bunch of copies for the men in our church that one time, and I gave them out to a bunch of men in the church. And I don't know where it happened to mine. I don't know where it happened to less of them, but I probably gave them all out. But probably. There's a lot of good stories in there, and a bunch on Percy Ray, you know, just a bunch of different fellows, John Rice, all these great guys, the way God answered the prayers and stuff, and there's several of them. So, but I like that kind of stuff. So let's
do it
again.
I love it.
Let's do it again.
I love it, and not to toot my own horn or build my own vanity, but I like sharing the stories of God, how He's interviewed in my life.
Yeah, exactly.
And to me, it makes the scripture real.
Yeah, they make great impacts. Like, you know, not that we're going to keep getting stories here, but like Percy Ray, that one time he was trying to win this guy to the Lord, and the guy wouldn't come to church. He wouldn't.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good story.
And the wife got saved, and she's like, so finally he was out drinking all the time and stuff. She said, preacher, go in there and hide in the bedroom. He'll be home in a minute. And so this guy comes in to lay down, go to sleep.
That would not be the same way.
Could you imagine a Baptist preacher hanging out in your house, in your bedroom, in the middle of the night?
Your wife's home, but you ain't.
Yeah, your wife's home, and you ain't. And you go to get in bed, and there's that preacher. He reaches up, grabs him, and gets him in a bear hug, and says, you ain't going anywhere until I tell you about Jesus. And the guy gets saved and becomes a deacon in their church.
That's not how it worked today.
I know that he'd have been arrested, and
Absolutely.
Been on a sex offender list or something.
Probably.
So
anyway, yeah, like I said, we're out of time, but let's do this again here real soon.
Yes, please let's do it again.
Absolutely. So. Well, anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in today.
Thank you.
It's been a blessing. I really enjoy this time. Thank you for your time, Pastor.
Absolutely.
And it's always awkward. You call your dad pastor or daddy. You know,
dad's fine. So
I know, but this is a church setting.
Yeah, my daddy used to always say, call me anything you want as long as you don't call me late for supper.
That's true. my wife's fit to pop anytime, so I've been doing all the cooking. So.
Oh, wow.
And, yep, maybe by the time you guys are watching this, listen to this, you already have a kid.
I have
so.
A third one.
Third baby.
Born, yeah.
Third born.
Yep, Cyrus.
Old Cy. And, yeah, I told that to somebody. I'll tell you this to you off camera. But anyway, thank you guys for tuning in today. Have a great day.
Right.
Plug everything here real quick, buytheblood.org. Get a hold of us. Got any questions, feel free to reach out. We'd be happy to answer them. I actually have already had a couple of questions submitted, so we'll have to answer those here real soon. Of course, you can give us a phone call. Our number is 641-228-5362. Snail mail 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa 50616. App is by the blood.org. It is Water from the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Available on most things. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you this, but we managed to get on like 9 or 10 of the major podcast streaming platforms. So this should be available pretty much anywhere now. So anyway, just remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.